Sabbath blessings, everyone.
We can hear that in the other room. Now we're going to be singing Blessed Assurance for the first song. Right?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture never shone my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, lurking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. And the next one is Rock of Ages. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side will flow. Be a sinner, double pure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my fear no rest I know? For the sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flows. Be a sinner, double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. When I draw my final breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold beyond my throne, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Amen.
Amen, family. Greetings, church. I pray we're having a wonderful Sabbath. There's nothing like home church. Amen. Very wholesome. Very wholesome. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have an interesting topic today. The topic's going to be on the kingdom of God. So if you could all please join me on bended knee for those that can. And if not, just bow your heads, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this wonderful Sabbath. And we thank you for the hours in which we come together and gather in your name. Father, as we go into your word, please bless us with clear understanding. May all preconceived notions be washed away. And as we enter this topic, Father, please give us this very clear understanding that we may not be deceived in these last hours of the earth's history. Father, we love you, we praise you, we shall glorify you in each and everything that we do, each and every day. Father, we just thank you for the gathered brethren here in this ministry. Father, as I understand, there are some that are not feeling well, with me and Henry. So Father, we lift them up to you, and we leave all things in your hands. Bless us all, Father, with thy love. We thank you, and we praise you. And in Jesus' name, we continue to pray. Amen. Okay, amen. I just thought I saw someone say, is chopping? Is it chopping? Sounds perfect there. Okay, so it could be just in some areas. Okay. Alright, so, as I said, the subject is going to be on the kingdom of God. This subject on the kingdom of God, it's a widely misunderstood subject. And I've read and have heard so many different denominations translating this subject as an earthly dominion and a reigning with Jesus on earth for 1,000 years. As we will shortly see by his word alone, to think such a thing is to be founded on error. It's by twisting of scripture and reading with a topical understanding that will draw us to false conclusions, because they have failed to see the spiritual things of God are spiritually discerned. Just as 1 Corinthians 2:4 tells us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This very word, the kingdom, is mentioned 158 times in the New Testament in 150 verses. Now with that said, should we see the importance of understanding its meaning? Yes, we should. So before we begin, let's take a look at this word kingdom in Scripture. The Hebrew word for kingdom here is malkuth, and the Greek equivalent is basileia. And when we look at Strong's H4438, we'll see that word, and it's defined as a rule. We'll also see it can be defined as a reign, and the same as in the Greek Strong's 932. Basileia, we'll see it says rule and reign as above. In both languages, we see a meaning of rule and reign. We'll also notice it refers to the employment of God's sovereignty, dominion, and power. Let's look at a few verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament to see how it's used. Right, we'll start off with the Old Testament. This will be 2, 3, and 4 here in the room. In Psalms 145, verse 11, it says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. We'll notice his glory of thy kingdom and thy power. And Psalms 22, verses 28 says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And one more verse here. In Psalms 103, verse 19, it says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. So far we see the Lord's kingdom with a theme or a pattern having to do with his power and rule. Now when we look at the New Testament, we'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And number 6, it also says, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we are to pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will equals thy kingdom come. When we read that verse. I personally like to describe this kingdom as God's will and love. We will shortly see it is the will of God manifested in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that brought redemption to the sinful fallen world, and that it was Jesus' very character and his love that he expressed to all, even his enemies, represented the kingdom. The love was to be the example of the kingdom of God. One very important thing we need to ask ourselves. What is God's will for us? You got to really think about that. What is God's will for us? You'll find the answer in John 3:16, the very famous verse. Okay, we're at number 7. Where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is a very deep verse. You know, it's kind of well-renowned around this world in the Christian faith. I mean, every part of that verse has so much meaning. It is full of meat. I mean, to comprehend that God loved us that much, that he gave his only begotten Son. What does 1 John 4 tells us? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It's a special type of love that will cause us to be redeemed. It was through our Savior. Now, the very first time the word the kingdom is mentioned in the New Testament, it is in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, where John the Baptist says this. And we'll start at verse 1, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now this was the very first sermon and opening statement in the New Testament, which was given by John the Baptist when he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John already knew the kingdom was at hand. Now how? In studying what we call today the Old Testament scriptures and understanding the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. As John was filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to proclaim to all by his teachings, prepare to meet thy God. Just as Amos 4:12 declares, prepare to meet thy God. John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, he went boldly preparing the way. And so is the message of the kingdom to continue in all generations. Prepare to meet thy God. That's the continued theme. Now, we are to come in that very same manner, that very same power as did John. But self must be denied to go in that same manner. How? By walking in His Spirit, the Lord. We can go boldly and teach others, prepare to meet thy God. You have to believe in your heart, church, that you have been commissioned to finish this very work. This work ends with His last day church. But you have to believe that. You have that faith. So we see in Matthew chapter 3, John is declaring the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Soon John's work would be done preaching the kingdom is at hand, and he had made way for one greater than him. As John decreased, Jesus began to increase. So we've already read that John the Baptist was calling people to the kingdom in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now who else began to preach this? Now moving down to number 11 here, we'll see Jesus proclaiming this good news in this gospel of the kingdom. In Numbers 11:16 below, we'll see some of these scriptures. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So this is what Jesus was preaching. "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So all of a sudden we see this very similar theme and this very same preaching as did John, now done by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." We'll also find a very similar thing in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. So number 12 here, we see Jesus preaching the very same good news of the kingdom and coming to the aid to physically heal the oppressed and the diseased people. Was this not good news to those who were diseased? Were not the unlearned blessed by the light Jesus preached to them concerning everlasting life? Was this not good news? Amen, it was. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus says to seek the kingdom first, as your treasures will be stored there. Jesus did not say in Mark chapter 10, verse 31, "But many that are first shall be last, and the first," I'm sorry, "and but many that are first shall be last, and the last first." So that is what Jesus said. Seek His righteousness, as Matthew chapter 6, 33 says, so you may enter the kingdom. Yet some would have you believe to await a coming temporal kingdom, and in doing so, you will never prepare your heart. Satan has spun this doctrine around in his craftiness to many who have believed strong delusions or have fallen to it. Now, as Brother Nick was preaching this just a little while ago, Satan has done this, and many are going to believe and are waiting this temporal kingdom to come, and then there will be a reign with him on earth. But we will shortly see through the scriptures this is not true. And number 14, Luke chapter 4, verse 43 says, and Jesus says, "And he said unto them, I preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, therefore am I sent." And in Luke 8:1, "And it came to pass afterward that he," this is Jesus, "went throughout every village and city, preaching the and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom, and the 12 were with him. And then also in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then, and only then, shall the end come. In this last verse here, we see this work commissioned by Jesus has to be finished by his people before the end comes. This good news and final three angels' message is ours to finish. Our Lord has put it in our hands. We see Jesus himself began to preach this good news to many cities in Luke chapters 4 and 8. We just read that. There is a calling to his people, to the kingdom, before the end comes. This good news, this gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus went about teaching in Galilee and preaching in their synagogues, what was it? It was the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, and his righteousness. It's his kingdom of grace. It's his character, God's very will for us. That good news was the arrival of the Messiah and our great example. That is the good news. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, or number 17. And we're going to see this time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. We're going to see the time fulfilled. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, and the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now this was said by Christ. What is this time that is fulfilled that Jesus is speaking about? This time was based on the prophecies and the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. At number 18, we'll see in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, where it says, 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bear in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So who was anointed? Who was the most holy? This prophecy was fulfilled by no one other than Jesus Christ himself. And as we all know, in the autumn of AD 27 is when Jesus received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then shortly after this anointing is when his ministry started. This is when it began. Thus the proclaimed message of the time is fulfilled was declared by Jesus Christ himself when he declared it in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. But sadly, the Jews misunderstood the word of God, and therefore they knew it's not the time of thy visitation, as you see in Luke 19, verse 44. Because of being so engrossed in the earthly world, the offer Jesus gave them of the spiritual kingdom was just barren and fruitless because of self-righteousness, because of a self-righteous nature and character that they had. In the same manner, in succeeding generations, many have rejected the light and will that our Savior has given, similar to as with the religious Jewish leaders in Christ's time. We need to pray, church. We need to pray today that we don't become so absorbed in the earthly world that that day of the Lord don't overtake us as a thief. Don't grieve away his kingdom of grace. Strive to be part of that final number. But then his word says, we are the children of light, so let us watch and be sober. Amen? Let us strive unto perfection. Now, let's dissect some of the verses of when the word of God, the word kingdom is used. Okay, now we're going to go into it. There was 158 times it was mentioned in 150 verses. We're just going to go through some this Sabbath, and we're going to dissect it. Okay, we're going to start with Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, for those that are following along in their Bible. And those that are following along in the room, it's we're at number 20. And it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit and the persecuted people suffering for righteousness' sake, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is yours. His love, his grace, his righteousness is theirs. It's ours. We have a big brother in Jesus Christ. He came for them all. He came for us. We need to remember the very suffering that we go through for his name's sake, whether it be spiritual or whether it be physical, and we all know that we're not worthy of his love and we're not deserving of it, it is still something that we can exchange for the attributes of his loving grace. Thank you, Lord, for this. Where do we find this exchange? At the feet of Jesus. The cross of Jesus Christ. Here is where you will find his righteousness, his mercy, his love, and his strength. The spiritual kingdom of God is ours to accept. Our loving Father gives us a choice, church. Sinners must be willing to receive his grace before he or she can be suited for the kingdom of glory. Jesus wants us, as weak as we are, as sinful as we are, and as helpless as we are, because it's only his robe of righteousness and his tender love that can cover each and every one of us. Every one of us that's here in this room. It is by his divine spirit only that our hearts can be made pure. It's the Lord's will, his will, that we be partakers of the Holy Ghost. Remember what our Savior said in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 and 42? At 21 and 22 in the room here, these very key things. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then verse 42, he says, thy will be done, referring to his Father. We have to turn to our Heavenly Father. It is his will. God's will needs to reign in us through his Son. In Luke 17, chapter 17, verses 20 through 22. We're going to look at this verse now. Jesus says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Where is it Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, it is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. This is why it's very important to understand how, the why, and in the manner of the coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God does not come with a superficial display or exhibit, but it is through the life-changing and internal working of the Holy Spirit in one's life. God's very will be supplanted in your very heart. It will be supplanted. He replaces your old desire to do his very will. There must be an exchange there. Do you see why you can't grieve away his Spirit? You will forever be lost. This is why you can't grieve away the Holy Spirit. When you stay humble in his word, he will reveal through his Spirit the tender, divine guidance of his word, and it will bring you in harmony and in fellowship with a transforming desire to the perfection of character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, our character transforming to his will in this world, in bringing the lost to him, by laboring each and every day for his cause, this is his will for us. Minister to the hungry, the thirsty, to the stranger, clothe the naked, help the sick, and minister and visit the imprisoned. This is his will for us. Regardless of what state we are in life, whether we're in jail, the Lord wants them also. He wants them to repent. This is his will for us, church. Deny self so that his will is done in us through the grace of Christ, that it may be said of each and every one of us, of such is the kingdom of God. Church, stay humble, be teachable. You know, as I always say, when we gather and we do these family studies, keep the love of Christ in you in all that you do. Do all to the glory of God. His kingdom begins at your acceptance of him in your hearts. Jesus said the kingdom of God was where? Was within you. Amen? Do you believe Jesus? Right in your very heart, his character, his will being made alive through his grace is the spiritual kingdom. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 20. He said, the kingdom cometh not, N-O-T, not with observation. It's not an outward show, but it's right in your very heart to think we are to look for an earthly, worldly government ruled by Christ and his followers, okay, men, carnal men, and his followers during 1,000 years is to believe in man and the outward measures of man. Yet, we have been told the government will be upon his shoulders, and we who've been bought with a price will forever be bound with him in eternity. We will tabernacle with him. What's the need for a ruling government by men on this earth? This is such a fleshly way of thinking. It's absolutely not heavenly. It's not a heavenly way to think. Our glorified, risen Savior is our brother. Sin will not be part of this universe. So why think of an earthly rulership of men to rule over sinless, righteous people? I mean, we're being resurrected, the righteous, and yet they're saying men will rule with Christ to rule over us. I mean, common logic and the foundation of Scripture tells you that's a lie. For those that teach a soon earthly ruling kingdom during the 1,000 years where Jesus will need his elect to help him rule, please read what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 22, especially where it says, you shall not see it. Got to pray for those people. You know, when I first wanted to put this sermon together, there were a few ministries out there that were teaching heresy on this. I wanted to quote some of the things that came from their pamphlets and these booklets. But, you know, my heart was cut not to give them any airtime. None at all. But I pray that after we're done with this sermon in the coming weeks here, that we would have clear understanding to these things and these manners in which Christ comes, and that we would never fall to those heresies when they come before us. But yes, please, pray for these people. Now, moving on to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and 34. Okay, for those that are following your Bibles. Mark chapter 12, verses 34. And we're going to see the kingdom of God is spiritual and not physical. And this is referring to the kingdom of grace, okay? That it's spiritual and not physical. Listen to this discourse between Jesus and a scribe here in the 12th chapter of Mark. Starting with verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is what Jesus said. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. In verse 34, it says, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. In the scribe's reply, Jesus told him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus implies to the scribe that the kingdom of God will be of a spiritual nature and not of a temporal, secular, or physical one, as many are trying to lead people to believe. The scribe's comprehension of what love can do brings him in closeness to the government of his kingdom. That understanding of what love can do, I mean, that is what brought him to the closeness of the government of our Heavenly Father's kingdom. His word declares to us, for God is love. We just read that in 1 John 4:8 recently, right? Love is the character of God, the character of his Son, the attributes of his law, and the character of the subjects of his kingdom. I pray that we all consider ourselves a subject of his kingdom. Sin will not be part of his kingdom, church. That's why Jesus and John the Baptist says, repent ye. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God will have no part with sin. He can't. The kingdom of God is within you. The power of God in you is the very presence of our Savior working in our life by His Spirit. Amen. Now moving on to Luke 11, verse 20. Now I want us to really dissect a lot of these scriptures here. Jesus says this, at number 25 here, Luke 11, verse 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God. The kingdom is within you, church. But you must die to self and allow the presence of His divine Spirit to mold you into a new man and walk in the newness of Christ. That sinful nature that we have that's still alive will not allow you to enter the kingdom. We have to turn from practicing sin. One last point here on the spiritual kingdom. And this point is taken from John chapter 18, verse 36, and we're at 26, where Jesus replied to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." I just love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in proving the kingdom of God is God's grace, and it's spiritual, and I think when you read it, you understand it, you'll see it. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." What does Jesus mean in saying this? Jesus is saying, His kingdom is not from here where you people have hatred and strife. You use swords in your murder. If, here's a big word, if my people were from here, the earthly world, they would act as you worldly people do. And they would fight to deliver me from the Jews. But my people are not from here. They're not worldly, sinful people. The people of my kingdom are the Spirit. They're loving, they're kind, they're joyful, gentle, meek, long-suffering, and they're peaceful. Prepare yourself for His kingdom. That's the very important subject matter, this entire sermon, is to prepare yourself for His kingdom. This is what Jesus meant. His people are not from this world. Be not conformed to this world, church. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I don't have this verse here, but if someone wants to post it, it would be wonderful. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Will of God. That's His will for us. Being out of the world. We are His subjects of His soon kingdom of glory. Prepare to meet thy God. Start today. Be led by His Spirit and walk in it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 25 really sums this up so nicely. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, where it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Praise the Lord. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? These are the works of the flesh. These are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. Shall not inherit the kingdom if you practice any of those things above. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Wow. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And they that are Christ, are you Christ? Are you striving to crucify that flesh each and every day? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, says verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. By our fruits, we will be known. The very character of Christ is produced by the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us. Got to die to self. How many times have we read that? Die to self. At 28 and 29 here. 28 says, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, continuing in our very hearts. No. Church, I really pray that we get a good understanding of that kingdom and that we start preparing ourselves every day. You know, this is going to conclude part one of the kingdom of God. And I pray, church, that you are blessed by what the Lord has penned in his word, and that clear understanding has been given that when asked, we would be ready to give an account of our glorious hope. We are children of the light. It is all about Jesus. It always was in the prophecies. And it will always be about Jesus Christ. God bless you all. And I pray you have a wonderful Sabbath day. God bless and keep the love of Christ in all that you do. Amen.
Thank you, brother, and thank you for the message the Lord has given you to deliver to us. Awesome, powerful sermon. And we're going to sing When We All Get to Heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. God bless.
Goodbye.
Amen. If you can kneel, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you so much for your presence being among us too. Thank you for these truths that help us have a closer walk. And thank you for blessing our work as we try in our walks, as we try to get closer to your Son. We want to be part of that kingdom. We know that the kingdom is in us already, but we want to be worthy citizens. And so thank you for blessing us and for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all the unrighteous acts. Thank you for keeping us in the remainder of the Sabbath. Thank you for blessing everybody on the prayer list, especially those that are in need, whether it's physical, spiritual, or financial needs. We thank you for blessing them too. And thank you again for keeping this work active online and offline, and keeping it protected with your hedge of angels. In Jesus' name, amen.